Last night, first time of 2021 via Zoom once again, and Director of P&Z, Katie DeLuca, joins me now. And Katie, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Happy New Year.
How'd the meeting go last night?
Oh, it was a fun meeting. We decided to get our court reporter back in action as opposed to relying on the Zoom transcript, which has led to some hilarious transcriptions from the meetings in the past, that we decided it was good to get our court reporter, and this is a new court reporter, and we welcomed them to the planning and zoning with a very long meeting. So,
All right. So was this sort of like spell check, some of the things that you know that auto spell correction that kind of gets humorous or annoying?
Yes, exactly, just wrong.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But we started off the evening. There's a lot of housing applications on the agenda, which is why there wasn't too many applications, but there was a lot of public commentary. We started off in Pemberwick with a proposed application at 28 Hollywood Lane. This is an application it's a pre-application, so this is just a non-binding discussion, but this proposal would come in the future under Section 8-30G of the Connecticut General Statutes. If you've heard me speak about this before, that's the affordable housing section. No longer does the Planning and Zoning Commission use their zoning regulations to determine the validity of the application, but rather whether or not there is a public health and safety issue that would raise such concern that it would warrant a denial. And that bar for public health and safety is very, very high. The commission did a very nice job, I think, of outlining the issues for the applicant, one of which is that the entire property is in a flood zone, and that is very worrisome to have 21 units in this case proposed. They also have a daycare proposed that they considered to be an amenity for the residents of the daycare, of the residential facility. So we had noted to them that that would not be permitted if it is a commercial facility, but if it was amenity of the building, that would be one thing. But again, concern about how that would work with drop off and pick up. There wasn't a turnaround proposed, so that was a concern. Things like traffic and parking and the aesthetic of the building and whether it could be less units, all the things you would expect to be raised were raised. I think there was a lot of people that spoke, or we did have commentary in favor of the proposal because affordable housing is needed and desirable. So I think we gave the applicant a lot of things to consider and think about should they decide to come back with an application.
Okay. You don't have any word as to whether they will actually come back.
I believe they will. I suspect that they will either significantly rethink this daycare or just remove it completely. They will have to work with the fire department and with the Department of Public Works to figure out how the driveway will work. There's actually a property that's been constructed in Byram at 55 Henry Street, which uses our moderate income regulations, which is a very similar design. And at the end of that driveway, they have a small circular turnaround, so that we directed them to go and take a look at that. The biggest issue over there is the flood zone, so they're going to have to figure out how they can ensure safety because it is a major threat over there.
Okay.
When it does flood. So then we went to changing gears, not a housing proposal, but a lots confirmation. This was left open. It's at 0 Byram Shore Road. It's an interesting little situation. When you come off of exit 2, that's the exit ramp, but it's also a road where you have houses located on that road, and this is a vacant lot, which they were looking to confirm. We started off thinking it would be an issue about merger and whether it merged with another lot. We got over that. But then there was testimony from a neighbor about a right-of-way that they used to access their property and questions about whether or not the physical driveway that goes over the vacant lot would impact the lot size. So we left it open to let them figure that out and figure out what appropriate note would be put on the Mylar so that the applicant knows that we need to come back to the commission when and if the property is developed in the future. The third application was for 1429 East Putnam Avenue. That's the car wash situation, but it was postponed, so we didn't hear that one. So then we moved to 4 Orchard Street. We did hear this as a pre-application, but this is the first time it was before us as a live final site plan, if you will, with special permit. This was another 830G application, so affordable housing project. This one is 15 units, so less than the other one. five of which will be considered affordable. Three of those five units will be offered at 60% of the state median income, and the other will be at 80%. That's the income limit of the future residents of those units. And I think that went relatively well. This project is next to Koskob School. So as expected, based on the written commentary we received, there was a lot of testimony from the neighbors about the traffic impact in that intersection at Koskob School with the post road. It's noted that that intersection already functions at a level F. And getting you know, 15 or 30 more cars, if you have 15 residences assumed, it would be around 30 cars, into that intersection would be troubling, particularly considering that children are walking to school in that area. So we talked about some solutions thereof, but it was left open nonetheless because there's some desire to have comments back from the fire department, a sewer department issue that needs to be resolved. So we'll see them at a subsequent meeting coming forward. Then this was a housing application at 100 East Putnam Avenue, but not 830G. It's very confusing. We have many options for subsidized housing in town. This one is a moderate income housing development, meaning you use the average employee, Town of Greenwich employee salary as your income cap as opposed to the state medium income. And this is supposed to be for workforce housing, so the income limit for those who can come into this is considerably higher than it would be under 830G. This was a proposal for 22 units. It's next to CVS and Costcom. We have heard it as many times before, so we're getting to the tail end of this. As such, we ended up spending a lot of time talking about the landscaping, but the application was left over open. Excuse me. They also have a sewer department issue that they need to address. So we'll be hearing that coming up soon. And then we moved over to the other side of town, 585 West Putnam Avenue and 581 West Putnam Avenue, also an application we've heard before. This was a moderate income proposal under our zoning regulations, so it's housing but not the affordable under 830G. This one was left open because we need the applicant to go before the Architecture Review Committee before the Commission feels comfortable reviewing it. As you know, we do have a moratorium on applications coming in under Section 6110. However, this one was reviewed because it is in the system, so to speak, because the Commission had reviewed this proposal on a preliminary level in the past. That was a legal issue that was raised last night, but the Commission is, obviously did hear the application anyway. Before the Commission previously, it was mixed use, meaning it had a commercial component. However, this one is all residential. And even though the neighbors still have issues with it, they did commend the applicant for, one, maintaining the rock outcropping that is currently there. This is the old Garbo's, if people are familiar with that property. And they also made it all residential and brought down the scale of the building. So they've made a lot of the changes that were requested during the preliminary. But nevertheless, it was left open. And that rounded out the evening.
Okay, so what happened with the Greenwich Park applications?
That we coupled that with the 580, that's associated with 581 and 585, so we just lumped them all together.
All right, lots going on.
Them all at the same
lots
time.
Going on
yes.
on the lots going on the post road.
Yes, yeah. Yes, right. And that's what we wanted. We wanted housing applications. So I guess if you put the regulation out there, they will come.
Okay. And when's the next meeting, and what's on the agenda?
The next meeting the next public hearing regularly is January 20th, but we do have a workshop on January 14th. The agenda for that will be coming out today. Many people do know about it already because they've been coming to our workshops, but this is a public workshop about Section 6110, which is our moderate income housing regulations. So that's our subsidized housing regulations that relate to town employees. One of the biggest changes with the regulation is that we're actually going to get away from using the average town employee salary and go to 80% of state medium income. So although the income level will be much lower to qualify for these units, right now it's around $98,000 and it will go to about $55,000, which will knock out many town employees from being the priority group. We do have about 25 units or so that are have been constructed since the 80s when we had this regulation in the books in the first place, and those would stay under the regulation that they were approved under, meaning that the income would be the average town employee salary. So there's 20 units or so that would fall there. The new units, if this regulation is passed and applications come in under it, the number one priority would still be for town employees, but the salary would be lower. So it's a bit of a policy change, and you know, if there's no town employees or people that work for the town in the schools, the medical community, etc., then it just goes out to the public at large. But that's a big change for us because of this 830G business, and we want people to come in under our own zoning regulations as opposed to coming in under the state statute where, as I mentioned when we first started chatting, the charge of the commission is different. So instead of using the zoning regulations, they use this public health and safety standard, which is a bit nebulous. So we want them to come in under our own regulations. So that's on the 14th, 5 o'clock. There'll be an agenda coming out with the Zoom link. Then on the 20th, which is the following Tuesday, is our next regular meeting. And on that, we have 124 Old Mill. That's the foundation house, the learning center at the Old Mill Gibson Estate. We have the GEMS building that's back to us from 1327 King Street, and then a couple of residences, a large house at 11 Round Hill Road, a CAM at 2 Vista Drive, and 10 Sherwood Avenue. They want to install a shed, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but that property has been of interest to some neighbors, so that'll be on that meeting also.
Okay. What about Cardinal Stadium? When's that coming back?
Cardinal Stadium you're right, that should be on the January 20th meeting. We're waiting for comments from DPW. From DPW. So if you recall, we had Cardinal Stadium and we split it into two phases. So we approved the first phase. We're waiting for the second phase, which was wholly dependent on engineering. We didn't get plans that were satisfactory on the engineering, which is why we haven't put it on yet. But we're looking to get that comment back from DPW in time for the January 20th. So thank you. That'll be on the January 20th meeting also.
Fantastic. Katie, as always, thanks very much for your time this morning. Fantastic. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That is Director of Planning and Zoning, Katie DeLuca.